I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
So you know how when you talk about something and then later, like, it starts to, what you were talking about, now you think you got? So I was walking around in the cafeteria, and now my eye's itching. Because we were talking about Valdez's pink eye. And by the way, now he's wearing a paper bag.
Now your eyes are going crazy.
Yeah, now I was like, man, my eye's a little itchy now.
I give Valdez props, too. Not only did he find a paper bag, he found a Lido Pizza paper bag.
So
he's
doing
a sponsorship bit while he's wearing the bag on his head.
Nice. Oh, maybe that means more gift cards are coming.
Well, hopefully Lido Pizza will send some to the producers.
I definitely put a dent in my Lido Pizza gift card over the weekend. It's about $45 lighter than it was heading into the weekend.
We ordered Lido's the other day and didn't use the gift card. Just forgot. Donk move.
That's a donk move.
That is a donk move. But God bless Lido's, so you know we'll use it for sure.
I think I've got $8 left on it.
By the way, Valdez, what happened to our Mr. Wash bit? I heard they were going to send over all the fast passes or whatever, and the boys were going to be taken care of. Did that happen, Drabby, the Mr. Wash bit?
Yeah, his son is going to come over and put
him
on. I
thought you said Friday was the day.
No, he had something come up. So I think he's going to come over soon and put them on your car. Actually, this week sometime.
And how nice is that?
Sweet.
Every time you want a car wash, get your car wash.
Everybody loves a clean car.
So anyway, so Valdez is wearing the paper bag because he has suspected pink eye. Yes. Came in here to infect all of us.
This is our way of dealing with his pink eye. And his public shaming.
Yeah, right. I swear to God,
but
my eye itches now. I swear to God.
Which one is it? Is it the right eye?
Left.
It's
the
left.
The one that's closed.
Left eye Lopez?
Left eye Lopez, yes. This is his tribute.
I went over and looked at it during the break.
You're such a dirtball.
It's red and angry,
it's
right?
It's angry.
Really,
I mean,
angry.
How could you even come to work like that?
He's like, do I go see a doctor or an optometrist after the show? I was like, I think I lean towards a regular doctor.
I think you go to any clinic. They'll give you some eye drops and you're good.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you got to get that looked at. That's hard.
He's like, it's been bothering me since Sunday. I'm like, well, it's Tuesday. You think it's just going to all of a sudden go away?
I thought I had, like, a piece of dirt in my eye or something.
Yeah, he's got dirt everywhere else.
He's got a dirty eye.
He's a dirty.
Dandruff flake fell in my eye.
That's true. I could have inflamed it. Very good point.
So during a break, Valdez is telling me, did you see the new A-Rod show, the promo?
I'm sure I sound like that.
And I said...
Pretty close.
I said, yeah, I did. He goes, did you see who they're featuring on the first one?
Oh, I saw.
And I said, no. And go ahead and tell them. First of all, tell them the premise of the show.
So the premise of the show, it's called Back in the Game.
Yeah.
And so A-Rod is this big, silly investor now.
Right.
Who's on Shark Tank
because,
and everything.
By the way, not only did A-Rod make probably $400 or $500 million, right? Were the Yankees and Rangers and everything.
Mm-hmm.
He also is, apparently, if you believe the hype, like on Shark Tank and everything, like a great entrepreneur, owns like 500 gyms, owns car dealerships.
He's a savvy angel investor from what Shark Tank is trying to put him over.
All good for him. And he's a real entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. Okay.
But the premise of the show is to take these athletes who have squandered all of their money and to try and help them
build them back up.
Yeah, try and build them back up, help them accumulate wealth.
Yeah.
And so the first episode, which premieres Tuesday, the 12th, is Joe Smith.
I know, I saw it. I was like, I can't believe Joe Smith must know.
And in the preview, it said that he made $61 million in the NBA.
Yeah.
And he had $3,000 in his savings account.
I heard the number.
I thought he made more than
61.
He turned down about $100 million. Remember that?
Yeah, I thought.
Second or third year in Golden State.
That sounds low.
His second or third year in Golden State, I think they offered him like their version sort of a max deal.
Yeah.
It was like $100 million.
Where does Joe Smith live?
Don't know.
Not sure.
Yeah, it didn't say.
He's played for like 15 teams.
So he's got literally $3,000 to his name.
That's what the preview said.
I heard it on the promo. I couldn't believe it.
He's got to have money, like pension money.
Yeah,
or,
he's got an NBA pension.
You know what I mean? But still, for right now... He's basically bust, though.
Right.
What do you have? How many kids?
That's the saddest
these guys
thing
all have
that I've
so
heard.
Many kids.
That's the saddest thing I've heard today.
Yeah, I mean, it's
are
my
you going to watch it?
Guys,
yes. I used to watch
guys
it.
Guys continue to squander their money. Now, I understand that he didn't, He didn't make Antoine Walker money. Antoine Walker did the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
But if you make $60+ million, you should, if you have correct financial planning and people that are actually looking out for your best interests, you should never have to work again, ever.
Well, you have plenty of room even for bad decisions. With $61 million, you got plenty of room for bad decisions. Every decision he made financially must have been horrible.
Maybe just lived well beyond his means, and then when the money dried up, didn't have a way to sustain it. I don't know.
Well, obviously he did. And he must have had some of the worst investments ever. I wonder, did an agent steal from him or something? Like, did he have anything that was sort of tragic?
I'm sure we'll get the backstory.
Stupidity. Oh, my God, that irritates me. It irritates. You could go to the tape, because I'm pretty sure we were broadcasting around that time, when he turned down, I think it was a $100 million offer from Golden State.
Yeah, is that when Len Elmore was representing him?
Might have been.
I think that was his agent.
He turned down a $100 million deal.
NBA pension, if you've been in the league 11 years or more, pays you $195K a year.
But he can't hit that yet, right? You have to be a certain age where you can hit that.
I'm not sure. It's a
no,
good
you
question.
Can't hit it like at age 40.
No, you can't. I'm guessing that's a retirement number.
I think so. Now, I think it depends. You might be able to hit it at 50 or 55. And I think the way the NFL one works, and I could be wrong, so take it with a grain of salt, is it's like anything else. If you take it earlier, you get less.
Right. Or there's a penalty, yeah.
I'm reading an article, I guess, that he wrote for Players Tribune in 2015. And before I did that, I saw that he did put out a rap album. So he threw away money trying to be a rapper.
That's a giant black hole.
Yeah, but what is but that? Let's say worst case, career. $1 million. I mean, come on, where'd the other 60 go?
It wasn't a million.
But he's writing about it in the Players Tribune, because in 2015, I believe his career was over, and he's writing it from the perspective of telling himself about things at the NBA draft. And he's, I guess his mom lived with him his first year, and all his teammates joined on him. He says, don't be surprised if mom decides to be your roommate during your rookie year. You'll have trouble living that down for a long time, even though she might give you a curfew. It'll be worth it, blah, 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 blah. There'll be a lot of people pretending to be family who just want some handouts. They'll say they know you,
right,
but that doesn't mean that they're your friend. Be careful with your finances, because not everyone is going to have your best interests at heart. Keep a close eye on those who surround you.
A lot of takers.
Only after you have money.
Well, he was.
So it sounds like he started going down that highway.
Yeah, I was
going
to say, a lot of guys don't follow that. But yeah, there's got to be, maybe he can't touch that money until he's 50, 55, whatever.
Well, for
it
sure
is.
He's got that coming.
He's got to have that.
But this,
to
you might
but
have,
right now, just
you might have
3
years between now and then.
Yeah.
You got to live. And
he's
by the way,
he's got to do something.
That's a dramatic drop off. $195K is great money, but when you're used to making probably $3, $4, $5 million a year, that's a big difference.
You have to live a completely different lifestyle.
Completely different.
Man, that is sad.
Yeah, that rocked me when you said that, Valdez. Joe Smith was at Maryland for 2 years, but for those of us that were huge fans, I mean, an iconic figure there. I mean, just somebody who always had a great smile, number one overall pick in the draft, somebody to be really proud of.
I just don't think that, I mean, if I had just dumb, like, NBA-type money, I just the way I am, yeah, I'd spend a little bit on family and friends, but I'd still be a squeaker. I just would.
I know. You're a squeaker today.
Yeah.
I mean, he pulled in $61 million, but as we've talked about, he played 15 years, and his highest NBA salary, I mean, you shouldn't be crying for the guy. His highest salary was $6.8 million in 2006, 2007.
But he didn't cash in and make like $20 million a year.
He never had one of those really
like
bonanza.
Jan Mahimi or anything.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
And he was 10 times a player.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if Joe Smith were coming out now, he's a guy who would make $300 or $400 million in his NBA career.
So he made 61?
$61 million.
Okay, so
and I guarantee
taxes,
you he had endorsements.
Yeah, so let's
guarantee
just say,
you.
Let's just say he netted $50 million with all the endorsements and everything.
Yeah.
He should have $20 million in the bank.
You would think.
Right now.
At worst,
even
worst
the way
case 10,
NBA guys spend money.
Worst case scenario, 7.5 to 10.
Right.
Not 3K.
Because
not,
he should have been putting a portion of it in the market.
He
and that
basically,
grown.
You know what?
He basically has what AWOT has, like with his bar mitzvah money.
We can goof on this guy as a player because he's hopped around from team to team, and I think you know guys who have dealt with him with the Sixers. Michael Carter Williams.
Yeah.
Seems like maybe a little bit of a knucklehead, but I think his parents got him on this deal where he only like spends his endorsement money or trading card deal money and just banking all of his NBA contract money.
Right.
Just putting it aside, not even touching it.
Right. Well, if you have the discipline to do that and the wherewithal, that's obviously the way to go.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody needs to spend $10 million a year. I mean, it's just absurd.
Correct.
So, Anyway, I'm fascinated by that airs, I believe, a week from today.
Oh, yeah.
And I think it's a CNBC show.
Tuesday on CNBC.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what time.
So they'll interview Joe.
Oh, I mean, oh, it's a whole down thing.
Like, so he'll talk about it.
He was boo-hooing on the
crying?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's full-on crying. Dude. His eyes were redder than Valdez's.
He had the biggest smile when he played.
What's he doing now?
Probably grasping.
I'm surprised he's not coaching in the NBA. Somewhere.
You know what? They had footage of him like doing some sort of camp.
Yeah, they all do camps. Yeah, they all try to get
so maybe so maybe that's what he's doing for money is putting together camps.
Well, I can tell you this.
Is he married to Allie LaForce? I've seen two stories.
Hold on. Allie LaForce from CBS?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Joe Smith?
I've seen two different stories.
I'm going to connect Allie LaForce to Joe Smith.
Baseball player. There's apparently a baseball player named Joe Smith.
Okay. But
JP's botching it again.
Yeah, Peter King.
No, I read two different stories. I'm pointing to the story.
Ryan.
And this is not a picture of the baseball player. This is a picture of Joe Smith, the basketball player.
I don't know. I don't think she's married to him, but
Smith
I could be wrong.
Plays for the Astros. Ricky.
Okay.
Donk.
You can call me a donk, but this is from an article about Joe Smith, the basketball player.
The internet doesn't know anything.
Oh, remember, right, that's why I asked the question. Remember, he was part of the T-Wolves. Remember in Kevin McHale, they all got in trouble for they were doing some shenanigans with the salary cap and all that.
Yes, right. Correct.
He got caught up in all that.
Yes, he was promised money by the T-Wolves.
And so he probably took lower salaries. They promised him
T-Wolves
money.
Might have hoarded him.
Still, he still made $61 million that's documented, but he probably was promised even to others.
If I were Joe Smith, I would ask to come back to Maryland and be like some sort of like athletic department ambassador. Just can you give me
a six
figure job where I don't have to do a lot?
Yeah, anything.
Help me get back on my feet.
Apparently, A-Rod has enlisted Kevin Plank, and they're going to try to help him put together his youth basketball academy, and they're going to do a whole thing.
Right.
Well,
so
that
they'll get him
good.
Going.
They'll
get him going.
They'll get him started.
But it's not going to be the same.
That money's gone.
Oh, that doesn't work. Bentley should hire him.
They could always hire him at Bentley's.
He could be a doorman at Bentley's. He's a legend.
Bartender at Bentley's.
He's a college bar legend.
What's over at the old Santa Fe Cafe?
It's some sort of restaurant bar. I don't remember the name of it. Yeah.
It used to be my jam. It used to be my spot.
Place is sweet.
They had chicken wings, free chicken wings for happy hour, Valdez.
Well, they went out of business
also,
with the Santa Fe.
The hotel up Route 1 right off of Greenbelt Road, you turn left, whatever that was, Best Western or whatever. They had wings there.
That's where I got engaged. Santa Fe Cafe. Got engaged there.
You did?
Yeah.
Romantic.
So romantic. I was having a Rolling Rock beer and a basket of wings.
Silly wings. Silly wings.
Great wings.
That sounds like Valdez's engagement.
I was having a Rolling Rock.
Right. I know, because it must have been Friday, because I think that's when they were
$1. Like, yeah.
So they don't do that anymore in bars and restaurants, huh? I should talk to Brett about that. About like the happy hour free wings. Get the college students in. That's what they used to do.
Yeah. And then they get the numbers like you and Lurch.
Yeah.
Dude, you got to take advantage of that.
Me and Nate and JP. And
right. All the numbers, like you said.
We would just go up there.
Colonel.
Yeah, we go up there free wings.
Your bar be filled with a bunch of AWADs.
Yeah.
I think the best spot for us back in the day, if we want to go back, was 94th Air Squadron had an amazing Friday happy hour.
There's no way that place is still open.
No, it's not.
That's impossible.
That's been shuttered for years. I mean, I don't know what it is now.
Talk about all the old haunts.
Yeah. That place was jamming, though, for a good 5 years. Oh, yeah.
More than
absolutely.
That,
absolutely.
Everyone would go
there. Drive down Route 1 now, unrecognizable. They're putting on a big, silly hotel.
High-rises everywhere.
Yeah, high-rises.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still congested. Don't think it's not just packed with traffic whenever you drive there.
Oh, I hate Route 1.
Oh, it's the worst.
Could there be more lights on Route 1?
Looks like Joe Smith has a son who plays at Rice. See, I'm just going into the Joe Smith wormhole.
Now, is that the Joe Smith from the Astros or the Joe Smith that you rooted for at Maryland?
I'm guessing it's Joe Smith from Maryland who has a son, Amir, who's a 6'6". I don't know if he's a freshman now. The article says he's a freshman at Rice.
Gotcha.
I was going to say, because the Joe Smith, Allie LaForce, that Joe Smith, Allie LaForce marriage just didn't make any sense to me.
How much is Jan Mahimi making this year?
$16 million, roughly, give or take a few million.
Right. This guy's giving me a hard time. He's like, you're overhyping Joe Smith. Great college player, but average pro player at best. That's not the point.
Yeah, the point is average pro players get paid.
Yeah, Jan Mahimi's making $16 million a year.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Mahinmi, I think, signed a 4-year, like $64, $65 million deal with the Wiz during free agency.
Yeah.
After the whole KD to DC thing fell through.
And even though he played in a different era, Joe was offered, Google it, it's documented.
Yep.
I believe it was $100 million. It was right around, it was in that range. It was a massive deal that he and his agent turned down for whatever reason.
Look, he had a couple good seasons in the NBA, his first couple of seasons, and then he just
became a journeyman. Then he became a journeyman, but still, he lasted however long, 15 years in the league, whatever it was.
At least.
I mean, you know, hell of a career.
I think 16 seasons, 12 teams.
Yeah. I mean, you play for 16 years, man, you get paid.
Yeah, and he did.
Even back in the early 2000s, you're getting paid.
Right.
$6-7 million.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Of course, Combine just wrapped up. NFL draft, about a month away. NFL free agency. So we figured we'd get into it right now with our next guest, NFL draft analyst for FanRag Sports and NDT Scouting. He's John Ledyard. He joins us on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. Hey, John.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. Really appreciate it.
Of course. John, before we get into particular players, I'm looking at an article you put out about a month ago. The cliches you need to get by during draft season, and one just jumps out at me that I love. Ideal slot receiver. When you hear somebody talk about that, you're basically saying that's a small white receiver. Nothing else about the evaluation matters. If he's short and white, he's a slot.
Yeah, of course.
and the 10 years in the league guy, typically a term reserved only for guards, centers, and terrific run defending defensive linemen.
Because the white receivers usually have good hands.
Right.
They're not real fast, although they can be.
Yeah.
And they run good,
they run good routes.
I think these work. These cliches work. They fit.
Right, John? We got that, right?
Hey, well, you got it. I mean, you heard it this weekend. Mike Mayock on NFL Network, he always gives that piece a nice little bump because he's got quite a few of those that he lets loose during the broadcast. Allows me to kind of plug that piece a little bit, but it was a fun piece.
But can you,
and it applies to all of us.
But can you blame him, though? And we're guilty of it, and I actually get a kick out of it. But can you blame him when it fits, when it's appropriate? And it almost always is.
Right. No, I think that was kind of one of the points of the piece was that we all use these. It wasn't necessarily to snub the nose of people.
Not a bad thing. It is what it is.
Exactly. It's just, you know, the reality of it is that we use those phrases and they describe a lot of what we need to describe, but better than anything else. So, you know, why not use them? But it is sometimes fun to have fun with them and look
right
behind the veiled language kind of that's used there.
Now, another one you have on the list has a different meaning for some of the people in this room sometimes is the dancing bear. Usually in reference now in football terms.
If you're laughing when we say dancing bear, you're outing yourself.
Usually in reference to an offensive or defensive lineman who is light on their feet despite being quite hefty. Dancing bear. We've seen it in other
formats.
So, yes. So who are some of the dancing bears from this combine from what you saw?
Well, definitely not Orlando Brown because I don't think he can dance, but he's a bear for sure. If you look across the rest of the offensive linemen and try and see, you know, you want to find those big guys who also move pretty well. And I think Tyrell Crosby from Oregon is one of those guys maybe. I mean, he tested really well for a bigger offensive tackle that's known for kind of a hulking style of play, like a finishing type of offensive lineman. You know, I think when you watch Crosby on tape, you see he does have pretty light feet. And those testing numbers won't blow anybody away, but when you consider, you know, almost 6'5", 310 pounds is a big offensive tackle, and he even trimmed down some, I believe. He was closer to 330, I think, in season for Oregon. And he heard some critiques about his frame, so he's gone to work and trimmed down some. And I think that now he's put himself in position to be considered one of the top tackles off the board, and it's kind of happened really quietly. But I think he's a guy to watch moving forward. And then obviously, you know, Mike McGlinchey, too, a bigger offensive tackle who is good enough on his feet. And in this class, there's a lot of offensive tackles. I don't know if there's many elite-end offensive tackles, you know, guys that project to be, you know, 10- to 12-year Pro Bowl-type players on the left side or something like that that teams typically target in the top 10. McGlinchey might emerge as the best of the bunch. He isn't without his issues, But man, the guy, when he's at the podium and he's being interviewed, he's like a coach. I mean, it's unbelievable to listen to this guy talk. So teams are really going to like how he can come in and step into the locker room and transform the unit and take charge and be a leader right away. There's going to be a lot of intangibles they really like about him. But both of those guys, I think, helped themselves while a couple of other offensive linemen hurt themselves. And really, in this tackle group, because everybody's so close together for most people, that's one of the big things is just keeping your draft stock right where it is and letting everybody else kind of, you know, some of the other guys fall off the map.
All right, is this true or not? One of the producers or one of the hosts told me, I can't remember, that you know, Saquon Barkley blew everybody away at the combine. I mean, everybody had glowing reports of him, and he blew away every test. But you may not be as high on him as everybody else. Is that true?
Yeah, that is true. And everybody kind of expected Saquon Barkley to dominate the combine. You know, whether you, regardless of your feelings about Saquon Barkley, this guy's clearly a freakish level athlete, and as a receiver and as a guy in space with the ball in his hands, I mean, he does some unbelievable things on tape. So you consider that right away, and you consider this is going to be a guy that in the hands of the right offensive coordinator is going to be a splash play contributor at the next level. There's no question there. I think the question you get with to is Saquon Barkley is when you get to his tape and you see his decision-making as a runner between the tackles, and it showed up time and time again this season. It's one of the reasons why against Ohio State he struggled as much as he did. He just didn't show the decisiveness between the tackles that you want to see. If you're taking a running back in the top 10, you need a guy that's going to be able to run through contact, that's going to hit the crease on time, that's not going to stop his feet in the backfield every time there's a little bit of congestion in front of him. To me, too often, that is Barkley on tape. And if you watch the Iowa game, the game that everybody kind of points to from this season, almost all of his production in that game came from bouncing the ball outside and just out-athleting Iowa's defense. And they just didn't have anybody who could match his speed. Even when they set the edge, he just got out around those guys. That style typically doesn't translate as easily to the NFL. Now, he is a freak. He's going to make some things happen because of that. He's got to learn to play more disciplined. Stylistically, I think he's pretty similar to Reggie Bush. When Reggie Bush was coming out of USC, a guy who relied on a lot of splash plays, his speed and his athleticism to get outside to the boundary, was a great receiver. There's a lot of similarities between the two of them. The big difference is that Barkley's 30 pounds heavier, 33 mm-hmm. pounds heavier, mm-hmm. and it has the size to translate to more of an inside running role if he can become more disciplined. But he looks for gaping holes on the inside, and in the NFL that just isn't often the case for runners, you know, that there is that kind of space inside. So I think that's one of the things that he'll have to adjust to in the NFL. This is still a top 12 guy on my board. I mean, this is still a first-round great player, no question there. But I think if you're taking a running back in the top 10, you need a guy you can trust when he has the ball in his hands to be able to execute every situation nearly flawlessly. And I thought too often on tape, Barkley failed to do that as an inside runner.
That being said, if you were a GM, is there a running back you would take ahead of Barkley?
There actually is. I think he passed Sony Michel, and maybe they're tied on my board now because of the athletic testing, the way that I do the numerical evaluations. But Darius Geis is going to be ahead of him on my board, the LSU running back. You know, again, quietly, Geis tested great this week. You know, he's a power back. Some people have kind of billed him as that anyway. But that doesn't mean he isn't an athlete. And he has some unbelievable runs, especially when he was healthy in 2016. He wasn't even that healthy this past year. His offensive line was horrendous. If you watch Geis this year, he consistently kept the offense on script. He made people miss. The first man never brings him down. He prides himself on that. He plays with an intensity and a passion and a physicality between the tackles that Barkley lacks, I think. He isn't the receiving athlete or the player in space that Barkley is, but he still more than checks the box in that area. And I think he's going, you know, LSU doesn't throw to the running backs, we know that. But when they did throw to him a couple times, he constantly made the first guy miss and maximized the catch. And I think that's what you look for running backs on tape. He looked really good catching the ball in the combine drills as well. He's not a guy that's going to wow people like Barkley is with the testing and stuff, but his frame is extremely well-built. He's layered on muscle, but he's also incredibly athletic and elusive. His ability to get north, put his foot in the ground, and get past the first level of defense is terrific. He's got the best run instincts in the class. I think he's going to be an absolute stud in the NFL, one of the best running backs in the league. And he'll be one of the top players on my board.
Joined by John Ledyard, NFL draft analyst for FanRag Sports and NDT Scouting. You can follow him on Twitter at LedyardNFL. Draft for all the information. The Redskins have an early second round pick. Is there a possibility that a guy like Geis slips to that spot, or Sony Michel out of Georgia is there. So they're not going to have to spend that high capital, the 13th pick, on a running back. Is one of those guys or somebody similar to them going to be there in the second or third round for the Redskins, in your estimation?
I think that it's possible that Geist is there in the second round. Possible Michelle is there in the second round. I would love to see Geist with Washington. That's been kind of a fit that I've picked. I don't know whether it'll happen at 13, but it would be pretty awesome if it did. I mean, you look at their situation with Alex Smith coming in at quarterback, and you know the receiving talent that they have is solid, but they're looking to add to that group as well. And getting a guy like Geist, who you know can carry the load, who did carry the load at LSU, even behind a bad offensive line against stacked boxes constantly with a quarterback who couldn't throw worth a lick. This is the kind of resume they're looking for in a running back. In the diverse schemes that the Redskins run as well, some zone, some gap man, you know, they do a lot of different things in the run game. And Geist has the skill set and ran behind a lot of those same schemes at LSU. So the fit makes a ton of sense. The style of play makes a ton of sense. You know, you think of Samaje Perine, who they drafted a year ago. Geist is like the rich man's version of Perine in terms of the same similar battering ram type of play that they were looking for, but much more elusive, much better in space, much more explosive athlete. So I think he makes a ton of sense to Washington. It's just a matter of whether they're willing to pull the trigger before he comes off the board.
Hey, if Cleveland takes Barkley 1 overall, all right, that leaves the Giants at 2. Now, the Giants don't need a quarterback this year because they're going to roll with Eli for at least this year, maybe a couple. But let's just say Barkley goes 1. Do you think there will be a flurry of teams that will try to move up to that 2 spot because they really want a certain quarterback? Or do you think they sit back and say, oh, it's fine, you know, there's 3 or 4 choices there, I'll just take, you know, whoever's available, whether it's Rosen or Allen or Mayfield or Darnold? So, or do you think that most GMs really want one quarterback if they want any of them?
I think, yes, probably, if I had to guess. I mean, it's probably going to vary a little bit team to team, but if I had to guess, I would say most teams want their guy at the position. They want the guy they've identified throughout the pre-draft process as the best guy for their system, the best guy for their team, the best guy for their culture, to be the leader and face of their franchise. And it'll be, once you go through this long of a process and you attach yourself kind of to hoping for one guy, and he's clearly the top one on your board, it's hard to settle for the next best thing. So, you know, even if Barkley doesn't go on the board and there's a team who's, you know, the Browns take a quarterback and there's a team, you know, that still has their top quarterback on the board when the Giants pick, you know, I definitely think there'll be a ton of teams trying to get to the Giants spot. It's just kind of a matter of where the Giants see themselves. You know, this is an organization that doesn't plan and doesn't think they'll be drafting in the top 5 or top 10, you know, again, anytime soon. So you've got to take advantage of the opportunity that you have in front of you to address the quarterback position. Eli Manning has fallen off more and more each of the last 4 years. The Giants haven't made the playoffs this past year, obviously, and they're kind of been trending in the wrong direction. I think they only made the playoffs one of those years. And so they need to be able to look at this offense, look at their team under a new regime now and say, we've got to go get the guy for the future. And maybe that opens up the door to be able to trade Eli Manning while he still has some value, because the way he's trending, that won't last very long, especially at his age. His value is depreciating as well. So they have a chance to be able to get something for him, potentially a high-end pick or another player from a desperate team that needs a quarterback in order to win the Super Bowl or in order to compete for a Super Bowl. We know there's several of those in the back end of the first round. They have the opportunity to be able to do that if they identify a quarterback that they really like. I think this quarterback class is very good. I think if Josh Rosen's on the board, he's the top quarterback in this class. And I think the Giants should absolutely pull the trigger and move forward to address the future, because Rosen's ready to play now. Mm. And you have a bunch of skill players who are ready to play now as well. So to me, that's what I do if I'm the Giants. But if they don't, yeah, a bunch of teams will try to get up to number 2.
Can you talk about the top receivers that are out there? The Skins are certainly going to be looking in that area. And one guy that we're keeping an eye on, obviously, is Maryland wide receiver DJ Moore. His stock seems to just be jumping big time.
There really isn't, in my opinion, a top 15 type wide receiver in this class. It's very much a bunch of twos and threes, kind of. I think guys like Cortland Sutton and Calvin Ridley and maybe even DJ Moore have the opportunity to be number ones for their team, but I don't know that they'll ever be the guys that just kind of do it all. Like, you think of the elite receivers in the league that an offense can run through and lean on in all situations. I don't know that they're that level of guys. So I think that they're very good players. I think they can definitely contributors, and really that's what Washington will be looking for. You know, I think DJ Moore is, when I watched him on tape, I thought, this is a guy who's tough after the catch, who generally had pretty good hands, didn't make a lot of plays outside of his frame, didn't really, he attempted to play big at the catch point. He didn't, he was kind of came up inconsistently in 50-50 situations. But I think that he has the tools and the athleticism to be even a better route runner than he showed at Maryland. They force fed him a lot of touches, but he made things happen after the catch. I like his skill set for sure. He tested better, I thought, than what he showed on tape. Maybe there's untapped potential there, you know, for him. You know, Maryland didn't exactly always maximize their players and their quarterback situation. You know, definitely hurt some of Moore's production this season.
I mean, think
so,
about it. Yeah,
a good player.
He had terrible quarterbacking, right? Because eyes kept getting hurt. He had 80 catches,
right,
over 1,000 yards, 8 touchdowns, and then his testing was through the roof. He ran faster than Diggs.
Right. Yeah, I mean, his testing was, he was probably one of the biggest five winners of any position group from this past week, especially because the wide receiver position is such a glut of talent right now. We don't have anybody who's really pulled away and established themselves. So I absolutely think he has a chance to be the first wide receiver off the board. 13 still seems a little bit high to me, but he did come in bigger than expected too, and that's going to be big with
teams. What did he measure at?
He was in at 6'2", 210, so the size is great there. I mean, I didn't think he would hit 6 foot. I don't think anyone thought he would hit 6 foot. So he came in big enough for teams, and I think he does have a chance to be the first wideout off the board.
John, real quick, at quarterback, would you rather have Josh Allen or Darnold?
Sam Darnold for sure. You know, Josh Rosen and Baker Mayfield are my first two quarterbacks, but I have Darnold third. I think that he still needs some development, but to me, Josh Allen's the guy who's further away than people want to admit from where he needs to be. I do think that he's improving this offseason from the opportunities I've had to see him throw in Mobile and at the Combine. There were still a lot of ups and downs, but he's definitely moving in the right direction. I would still like Josh Allen as a developmental guy, but to me, he's the fifth best quarterback in this class. I think we use arm strength as a primary trait when it should be a secondary trait, and we forget accuracy, mental processing, and football IQ just in general for a quarterback. You know, decision making and things like that. Those are the most important things at the position, and those are the areas which he struggles the most.
That's John Ledyard, NFL draft analyst for FanRag Sports and NDT Scouting. Give him a follow on Twitter at Ledyard NFL Draft. Thanks a lot for the time. We'll have to talk to you again soon.
Hey, no problem, guys. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, John.
Thanks, John.
You hear that? Appreciate DJ it. Could be the first receiver off the board there, JB.
We'll see.
Do we have the clip of Jason where he said maybe he wasn't even a top three at Penn State? Let me hear.
You know how many guys on the off list? About 100.
Yeah, but zero Penn State
listen,
ones.
I happen to agree with you. I happen to agree with Valdez on that one. I think Jason was completely disrespectful of what DJ Moore's done, and I think he'd be better than a third receiver on Penn State.
Let me just say this. DJ Moore would just be another guy at Penn State.
Maybe he'd be the number one receiver.
DJ Moore wouldn't be a standout at Penn State. And if you flip-flop the Penn State receivers, they would put up the same numbers if you throw to them 120 times.
Maybe. I agree with you, Valdez. I think he'd be better than the third receiver on Penn State. That was kind of the statement yesterday.
That's what I said.
Yeah, I think he'd be better than that.
I just said that DJ Moore, if you put the best receiver at Penn State in Maryland's offense and you threw to him 120 times, he's going to put up the same numbers. All right, maybe I'm wrong. He would be better than number three. But
could be number one in the whole draft.
I will say this. If you put DJ Moore at Penn State this past year, there were so many weapons, he's not going to put up the same numbers because he's not going to have the targets. That was my whole point that you guys couldn't understand.
But head-to-head,
you had him. It's just like
it's
kind of an average run-of-the-mill receiver that would just be average at Penn State.
No, I didn't
That's essentially.
That, you know, what do you mean, essentially?
Like, well, you said he wouldn't be the top three.
Okay, it's I said possible I was probably wrong on that.
He's better.
Yeah. That's the point.
It's possible. But I think what we were arguing about was the numbers that he was putting up.
And
if you put him in an offense, if he was at Oklahoma State, he obviously wouldn't have put up the same numbers because he wouldn't have been targeted 120 times. That was my point.
You pretty much.
I
didn't say.
I think your point was is that he was just.
You're
a guy.
Putting words in my mouth.
Yeah. Well, that's what I gathered from the conversation.
And the other thing is, Valdez never watched Penn State.
Right.
So he doesn't know how good those guys are.
Right. Well, we just watched Maryland.
Right.
Right.
So. You guys don't
You're
know.
Telling that? Me I never watched a Penn State game?
What'd you win? One, maybe two?
I know you watch a Penn State
game. Are you watching every single Maryland game?
Penn State and Maryland is probably what he watched. What was that?
Are you watching every single Maryland game?
No. I won't lie and say that. But I watched a few of them.
All right. Well, I watched a few Penn State games.
Right. And you weren't impressed by the receivers?
Well, I think the ultimate impression we're going to see
other than
in
Barkley.
April. But we're going to see in April when he's one of the top three receivers probably
All right.
in the draft.
Someone's texted me that Eric B. and Rakim are coming to D.C. It's the first time they performed in 20 years, and they're coming to the Fillmore in Silver Spring April 17th. I just sent a text to Drabby. Got to do whatever we can to get them in studio.
You should go to the show.
Tuesday night.
That's the thing. Those guys will want you to go like meet them there, interview them there.
Yeah, you might be right. It's worth a shot. It's worth a shot. Right, Drabby?
I would love it.
It's worth a call.
I'll shoot my shot.
There's so many.
Shoot your shot.
So many big acts, especially hip-hop acts, that run through the Fillmore these days. I mean, trust me. My kids ask me all the time, I want to go to this one.
Their lineup runs the gamut. I mean, it's great. It's eclectic.
That old school rap thing, remember they went to Capital One Arena. They had old school rap night where Slick Rick and Kool Moe
Dougie D Fresh.
And Dougie Fresh were there.
Biz Markie was at the latest rendition of it, just like last week, I think.
Now, I know it's a long shot because those guys probably won't want to do an early morning interview.
Probably not.
But you can grasp.
And what I'll say is, I don't know anything about Eric B. and Rakim, is those guys are not necessarily the most reliable because I did Wizards Overtime, and we were expecting to do an interview with, I think it was Slick Rick.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it was Dougie Fresh, and he just was nowhere to be found.
Right.
He was scheduled. He was supposed to be there. They did all the checking, and then he wasn't there. I think they eventually scrambled and got Kool Moe D later on the program.
You're right. They probably aren't that reliable, but doesn't hurt to call them.
No.
Call the Fillmore. Say, hey, there's two white guys that do a sports show in D.C. that love them.
No, but don't call the Fillmore. You got to call their management.
Well, yeah, whoever you call.
You got to call their management people, and it's got to be set up.
And I'm with Cakes. I know that we say it every year. Let's try and get Boys to Men in here.
MGM
has a lot of good acts coming out.
Yep.
Yeah.
Saw the ad for Britney.
Here's the thing.
I pulled into the parking garage.
No, you'll never get
you're not
her.
Britney coming but here's in the reason July.
I will have a full Nick coming into that
one. Chubb. Here's the reason why I throw out Boys to Men every year. Is because they did like Fox 5 a few years ago.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes, why not?
There's no reason. I mean, now, plus we're on NBC Sports Washington. I mean, come on.
And hopefully Valdez's pink eye or whatever it is.
We'll get that healed.
Healed up by then.
That might help, the fact that we're on TV. So.
Yeah. I mean, live television. Come on. Live performance.
Right.
In fact, you don't even have to. I'll just ask you a million questions.
I just want an interview.
We'll just play End of the Road 100 times and tell them how we listened to that 9 million times.
By the way, is there a new sponsor yet for the performance space downstairs in the building, or is that still up for sale?
I didn't even know it was up for bid.
Drab T-shirt, can you give me an update?
I don't believe there's a sponsor.
Okay.
I don't even want to do it down there.
It looks like they're trying to lease the spot on the corner, too.
Which spot on the corner?
Right when you walk out. I don't think that's the performance space. The performance space is a little further down.
Okay.
But right in that corner.
Oh, yeah. The building owners, Cushman and Wakefield, trying to get a new tenant.
All right, so what's this that says on the outline about an AWOD date? I know the boys, they don't want to ask, but I will ask. I will take the bait.
I'm sorry, so I told Valdez during the break. I'm hoping EB says. I'm looking at the rundown here, and it says AWOD date.
These guys want to ask. They have hostility towards them. I get a kick out of the kid. So what is the date?
I don't know about hostility. I would say ambivalence.
It's fine. There is an audience for him. Drabby, what is the story?
I'll tell you. I think it's pretty quick.
All right. So a girl that I had been talking to a few years ago and then hadn't talked to her for a while randomly hit me up and said, hey, how's it going? We were talking, and she said...
Why'd she randomly hit you up?
Desperation.
I was on her mind. I don't know.
You were on her mind. It's impossible. All right.
Posted a silly Facebook picture.
Maybe she has amnesia and forgot she dated him. I don't know.
And so she says, do you want to go on a fancy date? And she wanted to go somewhere with a 5-course meal and calamari. And I was psyched to do that Sunday night. And then she faked on it and never hit me up. And then Monday she says, hey, what are you doing? And I'm just sitting at home. And she says she wants to come over, and I said, well, we can go on my wine walk.
All right, now hold on. Slow down for a second. Is this an attractive girl?
Yeah. Very cute.
I saw a pic. It's good for AWOD.
Really? Good for AWOD?
Yeah.
And she's calling. So this is like a grand slam falling in your lap.
She's out of AWOD's league.
Out of your league.
Where does she live, and what does she do for a living?
Without being too
specific. I think
she's
in between jobs.
Between loser.
That explains a lot.
Yeah.
That explains
a lot. She's got a lot of free time.
She's in a rough patch.
Yeah.
From the sound of things.
And you know her from what?
From school.
From back? Okay.
Yeah, we had classes together and friends.
Oh, so she's really stupid. She was in your classes?
I mean, remedial math.
Smart.
She went to your school and she was in your classes.
Yeah.
And we've seen your spelling. And
watching VCU Rams one-on-one.
Right.
Yep.
All right,
the Rams
so she's out of your league.
DC this week.
I don't think she's out of his league. Valdez built her up a little bit too much.
Oh, she's
fine.
She's
not the pig that he was dating 2 weeks ago. The two
that we saw the picture of.
But
no, yeah. Lurch, she's in good shape. I mean,
right.
All right, but hold on. I thought we just had decided that wasn't the girl he was dating last week. The one in the picture.
The one that looked like Ty Nesecki.
The fattest girl in the bar.
Well, no, it wasn't the fattest girl in the bar, but off air, Awad said she had thighs like Valdez.
Oh, okay. So he never told us that.
Yes,
all right, what about this girl?
Yes, nice thighs.
Yeah. She looked like Kiradek Apra Barnrat.
Yeah.
Right.
Is that golf humor?
Yeah. Only three of us think that's funny.
Go Google him.
She says she. Here's what I'm confused. She says she wants to come over, and you say you want to go on a wine walk?
Yeah, that's
why
my,
don't you just let her come over?
My go-to first date is we go for a hike, and it leads to this waterfall, and it's really romantic, and
you
usually
bring
after a
bottle
few
of wine.
Drinks, yeah, exactly. I bring
you
a bottle
feel
of
like,
wine.
All right, man.
Where's the waterfall?
What's that?
Yeah, where is the waterfall?
It's like in the deep Arlington. So it's near that JFK Island. You know what I'm talking about?
No idea.
Off of Spring Run.
I don't think you know what
I'm
you're talking about.
I'm not familiar with that area.
I'm not familiar either, but it sounds like a good plan.
It's a good plan. It's a great trail. So she comes over. We have a glass of wine, and she gets to meet my kitten, and she's butt-sized for my cat.
Right.
And she's like falling in
Hold
love
on,
with
why
it.
Why do you have a cat? You can barely feed yourself.
I know.
What
I'm babysitting the cat.
So okay, good.
I'm the adopted
father. So it's not yours?
No, no.
All right.
And I don't have to pay for the food or pay for.
Is it a kitten or is it a cat?
Oh, it's 3 months old. It's a baby.
All right, that's a kitten.
It's a cute little thing. She's getting sized for it. She's like lying on my bed, petting it. And we have a few drinks of wine. And then so I'm like, all right, let's do the wine walk. And so we go through the trail and we're talking and. We get to the hike part of the trail, and it says trail is closed because of the wind. It knocked down all the trees, and so it just ruined my plan. I had this perfect date set up. We're already a little buzz, and so we have to turn around. And so we're walking around my neighborhood, and she sees a Dunkin' Donuts, and she says, oh, I want to get some ice cream. So we went to the Dunkin' Donuts. And
is that a good sign when she wants to get ice cream?
Hold on, like, is that a combo Dunkin' Donuts and Baskin-Robbins?
Yeah, it was the combo.
Oh, okay.
Is that a good sign? What do you mean, is it a good sign?
I mean, she wants to pig out on ice cream.
Oh.
Well,
I think it's kind of hurting.
I actually think that cutting off the walk is a good sign because you're back home sooner with the buzz.
Yeah,
right. All right.
So we're at the Dunkin' Donuts, and I didn't get
anything.
Yeah,
but now she's filling up on ice cream. She'd be farting.
I didn't want to look fat. she got her favorite flavor.
Yeah, so you didn't get any?
I didn't get anything, no.
Right.
You just did you pay?
Well, I was trying to, but she went to the cash register and gave her my card before I could, you know.
She gave her card.
Yeah.
Right.
So she got the raspberry sherbet, and so we go upstairs, the second level of the Dunkin' Donuts.
And gassy. I can't believe you've had that bag on the entire show.
He's killing it. I love it.
He's committed to the bit. I love it.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
So we're at the upstairs of the Dunkin' Donuts, and we're all alone up there. I mean, it's like a date at the Dunkin' Donuts, and I'm getting sized watching her lick away at the ice cream, rainbow sherbet.
God, that's gross.
I mean, I'm just...
That might be kind of hot, though.
Oh, it's so hot. Evie, she was like taking a selfie with her tongue out, just like...
Nuh-uh. That's like kind of flirtatious, don't you think?
Yeah, that's kind of hot.
It was silly. I mean,
I think I'm getting a little bit worked up.
Hey.
I was getting worked up in the Dunkin' D.
Yeah, where's the bell?
Right. Ding, ding, ding. All right, so then what?
We walk around my neighborhood a little more, and she's like, let's go see Alex Morgan. That's my cat.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You named your cat
room.
After a superstar soccer player.
I thought it's not even your cat. Such
I
a
didn't
nerd.
Named it.
Hey, Eric. Do you know what this dummy and this chick were talking about though?
No,
during
don't
the trail,
me. They were talking about like the Wizards.
No, this chick was talking about how she had her nipples pierced.
No, she wanted my advice or my opinion on whether or not she should do it.
Well, you got to say, well, I got to look at them. I got to check them out. I mean, it's the first thing you say, right?
No, I just said, hell yeah, do it.
Oh my!
I said, why not?
Don't you say, well, let me see what they're doing. Let me see what's doing there.
This sounds like a slam dunk.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. She's licking on an ice cream cone.
I know.
Oh, I like
she's
the setup.
She's asking
like
about
the
nipples. All right. And then go ahead.
No, I'm butt-sized.
So you
I'm
go back to
easy.
See the dumb cat.
Go back to see the cat. As soon as we get in my room, she's like, oh, let's put on a movie on Netflix.
Perfect.
She picks the movie. Right. Scary movie.
Right.
Called The Babadook.
Right.
Definitely butt scary.
Right.
Watch about an hour and a half of the movie.
An hour and a half.
Yeah, I mean,
what are you doing for an hour and a half?
She was talking. I was listening.
That's
I don't know.
Fun. I mean, talking during a movie, always fun.
Did you at that point?
What were you thinking about during that 90-minute period?
Ding, ding,
her licking
ding,
the
ding.
Ice cream. I mean, I couldn't get it out of my mind.
Were you sitting very close to each other?
Have you ever kissed this chick before?
No,
you've never had it that kind of physical relationship.
No.
Are you guys like spooning or anything? Like, what's going on? How are you guys watching?
No, I was sitting on the edge of the bed, and she sat on the chair. It was so hurt. Like, she didn't even sit on the bed with me.
Why didn't you say, hey, come, let's sit together. Let's watch this together.
I should have just sat down.
Did you just lay in the bed?
He sat on the edge of the bed.
I was sitting on the edge of
my
the bed.
My back would have hurt.
I had a pillow.
Old man.
Yeah, I mean, I would have been like, this is butt uncomfortable.
And so she's asking me if she should get her nips pierced. And I'm like, look, she's all over me. I got to make a move here. So I kind of
an hour
like,
and a half later.
I don't know if it was an hour and a half. I mean, we watched a good portion of the movie. We got through a few scares, all right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A few of the scream scenes. And then I kind of like lean in, and she puts her hand in my face and says, pleasure doing business with me, and shakes my hand, and then walks out of the room.
These girls.
Walks out of my house.
She actually said pleasure doing business?
Yes.
What
does that mean? EB, am I that ugly? Am I disgusting?
Well, I think you know the answer to that, but... That's just weird.
Your boobs were jiggling when you stood up, to be honest. You put an instant replay on NBC Sports Washington.
Oh, wait. She legitimately said,
maybe you should get those pierced.
Doing business with you.
Yeah. You guys could get competing nipple pierces.
Yeah, maybe get a 2-for-1.
That's a weird story.
You guys could buy brawls together.
You won't get a BOGO nipple piercing.
You guys could share bustiers.
What business did you do?
I don't know.
Pleasure doing that's ice weird. Cream and-
She's just a weirdo.
She's a freak, man.
She said, pleasure doing business with you?
Yeah.
What did you say right before that?
Nothing.
He went in for the kiss.
We were talking.
She put her hand in his face.
Yeah, I mean, she started saying, oh,
was your breath
time.
Humming?
No.
He was sort of down to business.
Down to business.
When was the last time you had checked your breath? Like brushed your teeth, mouthwash?
Before she got there.
Had certs, something.
Had wine breath at the worst.
Right.
It's just butt bored. Talking
yeah, I mean,
to
it took
dummy
90
for
minutes.
3 hours.
She's sitting on the edge of the bed. She's in a hard chair. She probably got hemorrhoids. Yeah. And she probably had to duty the ice cream out.
Glad you're doing business.
He was sort of down to business.
Huh?
She's a really skinny girl.
So did you walk her to the door?
So then I walked her to her car and gave her a hug. And
that was it?
That was it.
And then did she text back she had a good time or anything? Or
yeah, she did. She said she wants to hang out again.
That's all.
But I don't know. I why does she want to hang out with me? I'm like her best friend. That's lame for me.
Did you ask her if she has a boyfriend?
Yeah, she was actually telling me about her exes. And I'm like, I mean, I'm just in the friend zone. I'm just in this box, climbing out of it.
He gets fried uncomfortable
on the air. She was giving you a ton of signals, and you're just so stupid. You waited too long.
That's a cop-out. I'm in the friend zone. She was asking you one day earlier to go on a fancy date.
She wanted to go on a date with you. She's licking an ice cream cone in a million exotic ways.
Talking about nipple rings.
She's asking you. A girl doesn't ask a guy if she should get nipple rings unless she's somewhat down.
She's going on that creepy walk with you down that trail.
Yeah. I mean, she's drinking wine.
Down that murderous trail.
The problem is you let her sober up. And then she saw your man boobs and your big fat face.
Adam, I think you should just Instagram her, Arlington.
Yeah. Hey, I know what I'm doing.
Pull up Ben Simmons.
I mean, I'll hang out with her again, but...
Why?
Because he's grasping.
Because sometimes
I think you just got to be a little bit more aggressive.
Yeah, and sometimes girls just don't want to get down on the first date.
Yeah, be like the Redskins in free agency.
But hold on. Aggressive.
I think we could take calls on this for people that are listening to the story.
Chase waterfalls.
It could be guys or girls.
It's his trail.
If there are any women listening.
I mean, it's my fault. We were supposed to go to a 5-star restaurant, and we ended up upstairs at Dunkin' Donuts.
Okay, how could you afford a 5-star restaurant?
He can't.
I was going to have to hit up our guy from the Palm.
She hit up you.
Our guy?
That's not your guy.
By the way, he's so dumb. He thought a 5-star restaurant was Cheesecake Factory. He said that an hour ago.
Well, for him,
he's so dumb.
I mean, there's so many good options at Cheesecake Factory.
If people are just getting in their car right now, they didn't hear the whole story. The bottom line is, she hit you up out of nowhere, wanted to come over. You go for a wine walk. She's swirling an ice cream cone with her tongue, and she's asking you about her nipple rings. And then you get
bunless.
Nothing. And you get zippy out of that.
Yeah.
Was she A, teasing you, or did you just botch it? That's the question.
She was all smiles
you
the
botched
whole time.
It. I'm saying you botched it. Cakes?
Totally botched it.
Jason?
I think.
Or do you think she was just teasing him?
I don't know. She just sounds dicey. Next time, you just pull the oog out.
Yeah, they pull a Brett.
Just
Brett
pull
would
it.
Just pull it. Go, look at that. That's a show.
Just say, that's just a show. What am I supposed to do with that?
Yeah, what am I supposed to do?
And then she says,
you got to stop licking that ice cream
so
like that.
So maybe she just gets on that. Right?
Now, listen. That's not going to go over too well in this social climate.
That's fine.
I know. You can't really do the naked man anymore.
Or just come out of the shower. So I got to take a quick shower.
Junkies video producer arrested for sexual harassment.
I mean, just a little short of Ryan Seacrest. That's what I know, Bass Brett. That's what he used to do back in the day. All right. I want to throw it out there. If there's anybody left still listening to the program, did AWOD botch it? Or was she just messing with him? 800-636-1067. Jason will give an extra $5 for every female that calls. Don't go anywhere.
All right, so some people have responded at Junks Radio on Twitter. At Muzz Muzzington tweets, he could literally get a first-class airmail booty call spelled out in plain English, and he would still reply with, "Sorry, I don't have any boots. Want to go on a hike?" Maybe she didn't want to go on the hike. She just wanted to get down to the business.
She definitely didn't want to knock boots.
I mean, who wants to go hiking?
I think eventually she wanted to hit the skins. But
maybe it wasn't even eventually. Maybe that all that she just wanted to get right to it. And
he took
he
too
wasted
long.
His time. I do want to hear Cowboy Todd's online. I want to hear Cowboy Todd, John. Oh.
Do you want to do him before? Let's do the woman first. Let's do a woman first because we'll lose the woman. You know?
Oh, yeah. She'll be out.
Barely hang on. Lisa Alexandra. Hey, Lisa. What do you think?
Hey. It almost sounds like there's some kind of challenge or bet or something, like, you know, there's a third person involved here that was kind of like, how many different things can you do? And he still won't get it, you know?
Because that's not a bad. He could have just been a victim of a prank. It's not a bad idea.
Yes, and because when she said pleasure doing business with you, she's getting something from that.
Somebody paid her. This is the theory.
Yeah.
Someone paid her to text him out of the blue and say she really wanted to come over. Like, again, it made no sense. It fell out of the sky. Like Dennis Rodman said, the woman just fell out of the
You think
ceiling.
He's not easy to dupe? Just look at the guy.
So, yeah, I think it's a very plausible theory.
But then why would she
text
afterwards?
And then she's bored with the whole thing. She's like, he's not getting it. I'm done. I got
to
go.
Why is she texting
just
afterwards?
Just to be nice and not to be a total jerk.
Yeah, but she doesn't
she
have to
She might
want
to do it again.
Yeah. Yeah, do it again for more money. To see how many times that... Drabby, are you buying into this theory at all? Prank?
Nah, I don't think so.
I don't buy into it.
Why?
It's just a hurt thing. Who would know? That's what it comes down to.
Frustration set in.
Yes.
Frustration has set in on your part.
Yes.
All right, let's go to Cowboy. Cowboy, go ahead.
Why doesn't anybody recognize that?
Hey, what's happening?
Quickly, Cowboy. I see another female. We got to go to her.
Hey, I think this dude, I think he's in the closet, man. Because, you know, even when I was on a dry spell, I pulled fatties just to get some. I think this dude needs mentors. He needs somebody to mentor him.
He needs slump busters is what you're saying, too.
No, but are you volunteering to be his mentor?
Well, yeah, I tried to get with him last weekend because I had a free weekend. But I couldn't catch up with
him. What about you and your wife, man? What about you and your wife? She's all into that literotica or whatever. Why don't you guys take her out, like, as a couple? And I don't know, maybe something kinky can happen with those three.
Oh, I can only imagine.
We got to start him off slow.
Right.
We need somebody to mentor. But definitely, we used to, like, our boys used to take these things back. Man, I'd come down there butt naked, adjust the deer head, and it'd be on.
Right. Yeah. I don't even want to know your method.
He said naked in a deer
naked
head?
With a deer head. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Cowboy.
It's very reminiscent of what's the show on HBO? Woody Harrelson.
True Detective.
True Detective.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it is. Let's go to Maggie. Ladies
He's
first.
He's the next Reggie Ledoux.
Hey, Maggie.
Hey, how are you?
What's Great. Up? How are you? What do you think?
Good. So I don't think he botched it just this once. He usually botches it. But this time, I think he kind of showed that he was more of a gentleman and not just about the buns.
Well, I think so. But don't you think as a little, like the 90 minutes, I think he waited too long there. Like sitting on the edge of the bed. Can you imagine how awkward that is? She's in a chair. He's on the edge of the bed. 90 minutes. I got a scary movie on.
You're not cuddling.
Yeah, he's not. It's not like he's a good conversationalist or anything. He's
creepy wine walk.
He's stupid. So you're not having an intellectual conversation on any level.
But she said she wanted to see him again.
She's probably just lying.
It sounds like they're intellectual equals, though.
Maybe. But what about the line of
Houdini?
What about the line of it's pleasure doing business with you?
I don't get that.
What does that mean?
I don't know. I think next time he should definitely go for it. But this time, I think he actually played it right.
Have you ever gone on a date?
Again.
Have you ever gone on a date and bought ice cream and an ice cream cone? You're swirling around with your tongue, and then you're asking him about your nipple rings, and then not wanting to get buns.
Buns.
No, I definitely wanted to get buns, but if I didn't get the buns, then I would try to get the buns the second time.
Right. Well, if you didn't,
but
get
I wouldn't
it, you weren't
think
trying
like,
very
oh,
hard.
This guy is not.
Right.
Have you ever had a one night stand?
Yes.
Jason loves that question.
How many?
Three.
Hey, do you have the creepy music?
Did you
like creepy?
Did you like all three, or a couple of them hard thing?
I liked a couple of them, right. But I didn't like them after the one night stand.
Were all three strictly one night stands?
Yes. They were like, okay, we're hanging out, and then we go on one date, and then it's a one night stand, and then after that, I was not interested anymore.
Maggie,
on the experience.
What's your move that you do to let the guy know that you're ready?
Open to it?
Yes.
Yeah, that's a great question.
Because Adam needs to see these kind of signs.
Yeah, what's a good sign? It's okay to go for the kill. I would think swallowing ice cream with your tongue was a pretty good one.
And talking nipple rings.
Yeah, the swirling ice cream and the nipple rings was you know, definitely a sign. But
well, she also invited him everywhere. She invited herself over to his place. She invited herself to come back to his place.
Yeah, but what's your sign? What would you do to indicate? If you were dating Adam, what would be your move to kind of indicate that you were open for business?
Giveaway.
You know, well, definitely inviting somebody back to your house you know, going into a bedroom is definitely the sign.
Well,
unless that's the only
he
place you
have
to hang out.
Right.
Yeah, unless it's the only place you have to hang out.
Yeah, he rents a room.
He's in a frat house.
Yeah,
that's all he's got. That's his family room, kitchen, dining room. That's his everything.
Right. It's a hostel.
So we go sit on his IKEA mattress with no, you know,
with no frame or anything.
Right. The odds are his bed's on the floor.
Of course. Is your mattress on the floor, stupid?
No, I have one of those plastic IKEA bits.
You do?
Yeah, it has wheels on it. I can roll it.
Your wheels
on
your bed.
He's got a Hot Wheels bed.
Wheels on your bed.
My queen size bed. It's silly.
Yeah.
Extra comfy.
But I think AWOD does need, like, I liked when you guys had the female dating coach in there. I think he does need, like, somebody to go out with him and show him, like, this is how you can be normal and not scare people off. And this is the level of girl that you should be going for.
Yeah, he needs it. He's been a bust to It's Just Lunch. He's been a bust to a dating coach.
Right.
Yeah.
He needs somebody to, like, actually go out with him and say, like, okay, here's the fours and the fives, and this is what you should go for.
Exactly.
Maggie, thank you for the call. We have to run.
He's
an undrafted free agent.
Thanks for the one-night stand
info. Looks he's in camp and never makes a roster.
Hey, Travi, why does Jason love the one-night stand stuff?
It's hot.
He's just being bold.
When girls talk about one night stands, it's just hot.
I'm with you.
Won't you agree?
Right, gotta get out of here.
Every time I think about it, I just go, bing.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.